guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Hello, I'm Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hello.
And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship. And on screen with us, we have our guest ministers, Tom and Wendy Hawkins from One Church Grimsby in the UK, and John Tripp over there in North Carolina, mm-hmm. representing the USA. And mm-hmm. we are coming to you from, Gloria and I are coming to you from Australia, mm-hmm. on the East Coast in a small city called Ipswich. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm going to ask Gloria to open this Bible study with prayer and lead us through communion. Mm.
Father God, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you that you have first of all loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus, and we thank you that you have been able to bring this Bible study together with people, ministers from all over the world, and people who are hungry to hear the word tonight. So we thank you, Father God, for all the wonderful revelations that will come from tonight's Bible study. We know that it's going into hearts who are hungry and really wanting to be set free from the law and have a revelation, a fresh revelation of who you are and a deeper understanding of your love for each one of us. Mm. And thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we've got Keith and Kathleen coming to join us now too.
Yes, so if you can
go into communion.
Yeah.
If I happen to look over to the side, we've got a new little addition to our family, a little tiny puppy. So I'm just,
you better introduce him and get it out.
Can we bring him on? His name is it's Ricky. Come on here. Oh, here we go. How's that for a little teddy bear? A live teddy bear. He's so good.
And his name is Ricky.
Yeah.
Named after
Uncle Rick.
Uncle Rick, over there in Michigan. Michigan.
Yeah. So
okay.
We'll pop you back.
Off to bed.
Yeah, okay. He's just going to sit here next to us.
It's evening here in Australia.
Yeah.
So it's appropriate to say off to bed. It's morning where John is in North Carolina.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Well, the communion message that I've got, and it's not a doggy communion message. I absolutely wanted to
avoid. You didn't say dodgy there.
No. I was determined I wasn't going to talk about dogs for the communion message. No, what I did want to talk about was that this weekend is what many people call, the Sunday of this weekend is what many people call Palm Sunday. That's what I grew up with when I was a child, and we'd all go to church and we were given these little tiny crosses that were made out of palm leaves, and I always thought that was really really a nice little thing to take home, but I didn't really have much of an understanding about what I was given it for. So I just want to go through and just read you a few verses out of Matthew 21, verse 1 through to verse 9. And it says here, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when I checked out what that word Hosanna means, it means God save us or save us. And that was appropriate for them to cry out to Jesus when he was riding in on that colt. And isn't it interesting? He didn't put himself on a flashy horse with, you know, plaited mane or anything like that. Very humbly, he rode in on a donkey's colt. And that was appropriate for the people to cry out then. I think they were wanting Jesus to be their savior of the political system, but he was the savior of our souls and our spirits and our whole being, because we are saved, spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is redeemed, and our bodies and souls are yet to be redeemed when we go to be with the Lord. And so this communion message that I have tonight acknowledges that Jesus is the Lord. He is the one who has saved us. If you are a Christian, if you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed who he is, then you are a Christian. And so we say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us, for your body that was lashed at the whipping post. In next weekend, we will celebrate that Easter Friday and the Easter Sunday in remembrance of you. But today we say, thank you, Jesus, that you willingly went into that city knowing what you would face. Thank you for your body, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Your body that was broken for me.
And thank you for your precious blood, Jesus. Your blood that paid the price for the sin of the world and took my sin. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the risen Lord. Praise your holy name.
Thank you, Jesus. The justified.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Wow. A triumphant entry into the city. I mean, there's a coronation going to be coming up soon in the UK, but as lavish as that will be and wonderful, spectacular, visually and everything it will be, that just picture of Jesus riding into that town on a donkey with the people laying the branches before him and throwing their coats before him, just how amazing.
It's interesting that I believe it was the same people who only a short time later were crying out for him to be crucified. So you can see how fickle people can be. Well, we're doing Bible study. We're in the book of Hebrews, and we're in Hebrews chapter 6. And for those of you who are watching us from the third dimension, that's you guys out there who are on your smart devices, you can make comments, you can ask questions, and if we don't answer them on the show, then I will answer them during the week before we come live again in a week's time. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, and I'll get Gloria to read from verse 9 to verse 12, and we will start with Tom and Wendy. And if you can, before you comment, if you could just introduce yourselves to the people out there in the third dimension, to all the ministers as they come on. So I'm going to share screen now. We'll go to chapter 6 of Hebrews. Where's the Takata? Is that it there?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay.
I'll just reduce that down. Thank you.
Okay. So if you could read from verse 9 down to verse 12, and then we'll go to Tom first.
Okay. But, beloved, we are confident. Oh,
sorry, Gloria. I need to, I'll just stop this screen share and just give the people in the third dimension a bit of a background from last week and the previous week's Bible study. The author of the book of Hebrews has spoken to his audience about their potential to fall away. He really emphasized heavily that they should be further in their Christian walk. These are born again Christians It's written to the Hebrews, so I believe that the majority of his audience were Jews who had converted to Christianity. And what we've just read up to this point is that the author really emphasized the fact that you're basically still in milk of the word and you should be teachers, you know, and he really emphasized that. And then he went on and he warned them of the possibility of them falling away from the faith. And then he went on further to explain to us that, you know, for mature Christians to fall away from the faith, they can end up being in a retrograde state. And from that state, there is no coming back. However, it's not all bad news, because in this reading that Gloria is going to do, he says, but I expect more of you. And he's going to build them up and really look at the potential that they've got and where they need to be heading. So over to you, Gloria, and we'll share screen now if you can take it away from there. Okay. Yeah. Whoops,
no,
that's not the right
into
one.
Into the living commentary.
Okay. So okay, try again. Takata.
That's the one.
That's the one. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay. From verse 9 down to verse 12.
But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Over to you, Tom.
Well, beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you. So here's the good news. Even when we get it wrong, be confident. You see, when we say yes to Jesus, it's an everlasting covenant. It's not based on our performance. It's not based on whether we get it right all the time, or even if we get it wrong most of the time. It's based on the person of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Salvation is found in no other name. And so be confident that God's got things in store for you. And he's not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown towards his name. See, that was a past explanation of things. But God's still loving you. So hope that helps anyway. That's my bit. I know I've gone on a bit.
Thanks, Tom. Over to you, Wendy.
Just following on from the communion and what Gary said, I know how important it is to stay in the word of God and to encourage people to be disciples. Obviously, that's what we're doing here, reaching out to people. But as we know, on the Friday, there was praising Jesus, singing Hosanna, but then 3 days later they were shouting, crucify him. So that's how quickly people can change. But if we're in the word of God and we train and disciple ourselves and others, we will be stable. And following on from what Tom said in verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded of better things for you, and that will accompany your salvation, thus we speak. And I don't often look at commentaries, because I know some of them can be legalistic, but Andrew Womack's commentary and the Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, their commentaries are obviously based on grace. And then earlier on, I looked at what it said in somebody called Paul Ellis has just written a new commentary, and it's called the Grace Commentary. So I thought, oh, I can't go wrong with that. And this is what it says. I tried to remember it, but I'll read it out so I'll get it correct. So we're at Hebrews 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accomplish salvation, though we are speaking this way. And it, the word beloved, the original word, means dearly beloved, esteemed, favourite, and worthy of love. So that's what we can believe, and that's what we can speak out. So we can say today that we and people who are listening, that you are dearly loved, esteemed, favoured, and worthy of love. It is closely related to the verb that means to be well pleased or fond of or contented. So God is well pleased with you, he's fond of you, and he's content with you. The word captures God's heart for you. Your Heavenly Father is fond of you. You are his esteemed favourite, and he is well pleased with you. He looks at you with a feeling of deep contentment, knowing that you are his beloved child. All the epistle writers refer to the believers as the beloved, dearly loved children of God. And then it goes on to say, there's better things concerning you. In other words, you won't be like those who harden their hearts to the gospel and reject it when you understand all these things that I've just read, that he's content with you, he's pleased with you. The second part is better things concerning you. You'll not be in that category of falling away. In other words, you won't be like those who harden their hearts to the gospel and reject Jesus. So really that's the antidote to not having your heart hardened and falling away. Just keep reading those kinds of scriptures, listen to good teaching, and even declare and confess that over yourself. You might think, well, I don't really believe that about myself, but God believes it and we believe it. So it might be good writing those words down and reading them over and over again until you truly believe it in your heart. That's it.
That was really good. Thanks, yeah, Wendy. Really good. Over to you, John. You'll have to unmute, please.
Thank you, Gary. That verse in the verse 12 there is real interesting. That it says, "Oh my gosh." Anyway, that patience, that endurance, and that word slothful means basically sluggish. And boy, do we get sluggish when the circumstances of life just seem to be poured out on us. And I'm sure everybody's experienced those. Mm. So we got to stay after it. And it says, if we stay in the faith, okay, and we have patience, endurance, and basically we're going to inherit those promises through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Gary.
Oh, thanks, John. Yeah, you just reminded me about that patience part in verse 12. And verse 12 says that you do not become sluggish. Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We all know about the faith side, but sometimes we forget that we have to be patient because we're used to that instant meal, that like, we want it and we want it now, you know. If you look at Abraham, who had all those promises promised to him, he had to be patient for tens and tens of years. Yes, he was, the promise came to him when I think he was 100, but when did he actually have the children? Wasn't it 120 or something like that? So I'm not sure on the actual age, but I know that, you know, I think it says over in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and I'm from memory, I think it's chapter 11, it says that he died not, he saw the promises through faith, right? He actually saw them through faith, right? So they actually, even the some of the promises, like the seed that was to come from him, had not yet come. You with me? And yep. So
amen.
Amen. So some of the promises he actually saw in that, you know, he had Isaac, but the seed, which was Jesus, was still afar off, and yet he could see it through faith. Right? Amen. Okay, over to you, please, Pastor Keith.
Hello, everyone. I'm Keith Wall from Western Australia, rejoicing in the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's autumn.
Yes.
I'd just like to come in on chapter 11. And we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence. This is an important word because sometimes we think that if God can do it, God can do it. But we need to be diligent in what we believe. Our attitude to God is very important. And if it's a diligent attitude, the diligent shall bear rule. Right? So our diligence is towards God's faithfulness. Mm. This is the thing. That you desire, every one of you, show diligence to the full assurance of the hope to the end. So, see, this is what we're talking about, receiving the promises, having patience. Well, if you're diligent, you're not really looking at the end result. You're looking at where you are now. Yeah. I'm believing Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I know that he will come again. But my diligence now is living with him so that when he comes, I'm ready for him.
Mm.
Otherwise, we're like what Glory was saying. One day they're putting palms before Jesus, Hosanna in the highest, and the next thing they're shouting, crucify him.
Mm.
See, this is the thing. We've got to learn how fickle we are. Our old nature is fickle, and you've got to deal with it. And this is where diligence comes in, not in everything you do. We're talking about the things of God now, that I believe and I stay believing what God has said, that you may, they're not slothful. See, I read my Bible, I study my Bible, I pray. I am not slothful. And I am not slothful, or we should not be slothful to what we've heard in the Bible. You need to take it on board. See, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. So when I take the Word of God into my spirit, it is now producing life. The Word of God produces life in my spirit. Not slothful. See, if we're slothful, I've heard the Word, I forget the Word. That's slothful. But followers of them, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Through faith and patience. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10:17. So you need to have building up your faith daily. Like somebody said, well, I got saved 20 years ago and they haven't done anything since. That's, you're not living by faith. You're being slothful. You've got to build these things, right? Through patience, inherit the promises. Well, to inherit the promises, they are there. But do you know what they are? Do you know what those promises are? See, this is the other thing. It's one thing saying you know what a promise is, but you know what the promise is. See, this is what Gary is talking about with Abraham. He was promised that his descendants would inherit the seed. Who was the seed? Jesus. He believed that, right? So when Jesus died and rose again, Abraham was there.
Mm.
He'd been dead for years, but he was there that day. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. Pastor Keith. Excellent. Yeah. Over to you, Pastor Kathleen.
Hi, I'm Kathleen, married to Keith. And yes, we live in Bunbury, Western Australia, and it is autumn. And there's been a drop in the temperature.
And that's good.
And I just want to carry on where Keith left off. And in verse 9, it says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we speak this way. Now, we are persuaded. And in Romans, it's talked about being fully persuaded. See, if you're fully persuaded, you're not going to fall by the wayside. See, Hebrews is speaking to mature Christians. He's not talking to people on Milk of the Word, we need to be strong in him. Now, the New Living Translation says verse 9 this way, dear friends, even though we're talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things that come with salvation. See, we have to find out what actually comes with our salvation. You know, if you purchase something, you want to know what it comes with. What's included in that item? You know, if you're building a house, you want to know what's included in the contract. And we have to know that our salvation includes everything that Jesus has, we have. So it's up to me now to find out what I have in him, according to his riches in glory. I have to find out what are the riches of his glory. So in verse 10, he's saying, because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you work for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers. See, we are to watch for one another. We're to look after one another. That's why sometimes I have a few issues with the prosperity message. What's your motivation for giving? What is it? Is it so you can have a bigger house, a bigger car, something material, or is it for souls, which God's interested in? You know, anyway, we won't get into that. And we desire that everyone, verse 11, do show the same diligence. Now, that's what John was saying in Key. See, we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent in our relationship. We all know that family breakdown is through lack of relationship. Marriages break up because lack of relationship. Children leave home, lack of relationship. We know there is family breakdown, and we need to be diligent with our relationship with him. He never leaves us or forsakes us, but many times we forsake him. We'll try everything else and then think he's bottom of the list, sort of thing, you know. And like Keith was saying in verse 12, and be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, in the New Living Translation, it says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. And we have to have faith and endurance. So I just believe that what Paul's saying here, that we have to hold fast to our confidence that what he has said, what the Lord has said, what he has promised. He is faithful to perform that which he's promised and hold fast to our confession of faith in him.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Kathleen. Yeah, I like what Kathleen said about you need to know what's in the contract. If you've got a contract to do anything, then you need to read the small print. We have a contract. The small print is in the Bible. It's called a covenant. A covenant is a contract. And this covenant was written in the blood of Jesus. You know, it was signed in his blood. It was his blood that was shed for this contract. And the contract was for our salvation and more. It's not just about getting your ticket to heaven. It's about living a life of abundance here on the earth. That doesn't mean abundant life. That means a life filled with life. You know, you can be living and be just have no life. A life of abundance is filled with the life of God, that Zoe life of God. Do you have that Zoe life of God? Do you know what that Zoe life of God even is? Well, you need to meet Jesus if you can't say that you do. And, you know, the Bible, you know, a lot of people know, they've heard about Jesus, but they really don't know that they think that to get your ticket to heaven, you have to be a good person. You have to be goody, goody, two shoes. And that, you know, God has to have somebody in heaven. So if I'm good enough, then hopefully I'll get there. Well, if you think that way, as I did at one time, then I've got news for you. None of us can earn our ticket to heaven through good works. None of us, because God demands absolute perfection. If you've ever sinned, then you don't qualify to pay for your own salvation. But there's hope for you because God sent a Savior. His name is Jesus. And I'd like to introduce you to Jesus. Jesus is the Savior of the world. But to receive that salvation, you have to do it by putting faith in that name. Faith in the person. Salvation is a person. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is the person, Jesus. And how do you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 sets that out. It says there are two qualifications, only two. You've only got to meet two to receive salvation. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you will confess, excuse me, if you will confess with your mouth, I mean, speak audibly. You can't think your way into heaven. You got to speak. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, make him your Lord, call him Lord, name him as your Lord. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. How easy is that? But it's a decision. It's your decision. I invite you right now to say this prayer with me. God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the good news that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and I choose to make Jesus my Lord. I call you Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, that you raised Jesus from the dead. I thank you, God, that I am now your child, a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Gloria will now give you an email address.
Yes.
And Gloria, we're going to close this Bible study with prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'll tell you why, we're about 3 minutes early, mm-hmm. and we normally go for 45 minutes. We're about 3 minutes ahead of time. But the next two verses are huge, mm. and we just couldn't get around everybody in with the next two verses, so we'll leave that for next week.
Yeah, okay. Mm. So if you have just made that decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, or if you have a question you would like to ask of one of the ministers on the screen, you can email us at gfcd.sozo, that's sozo@gmail.com. So send us an email and we'll either answer your questions or put it to one of the other ministers, or just let us know if you've made that decision for the very first time. Mm. So Father God, we just thank you and praise you for the majesty that you are, and the love that you shed abroad to all your children, that you love us so completely. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for this time of ministering, that by your word, through the Holy Spirit, people's lives are touched and changed. We thank the ministers, and we thank you for the technology that brings this Bible study to people all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, God bless. And just take note of where you're watching this tonight. We'll be back in 1 week from now, mm-hmm. with another GFCD Q&A Bible study.
Yeah.
God bless, and thanks to all the ministers.
You.
We'll see you
Bye,
guys
everybody.
Next week. Bye.